I'm Ray Kirstein, in for Welton Gaddy. Statistics show that each time the headlines are soaked with another bloody mass shooting, sales of firearms shoot up across the nation. And again, certain political leaders pander to the fears demonstrated by these statistics and attempt to strike down common-sense prohibitions on firearms in places like schools, bars, and even houses of worship. Thanks to a lazy media, the claim of many pro-gun conservatives that the community college in Oregon, which was the site of the latest bloodbath, was a gun-free zone, has gone mostly unchallenged. But in fact, a 1989 state law mandates that concealed carry permit holders cannot be restricted from taking their little friend anywhere they darn well please, including college campuses. Still, the scaremongering goes on unabated. In 2010, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal joined this misguided and ongoing campaign to lift the ban on guns in public places, signing a law allowing firearms in the state's churches. Not surprisingly, as a pastor, Welton had a few words to say about it on this show.
Years ago, a mother told me a story about her young son who liked to play cowboys and church. One day she overheard him reenacting Jesus summoning Lazarus from his tomb. The little boy, with a toy gun in each hand pointed across the room, shouted, "Lazarus, come out with your hands up." Well, viewed as a childhood game, the story's funny. Viewed as a child's portrait of the Christian religion, the story's troublesome. How do you move from the image of Jesus of Nazareth, called the Prince of Peace, who taught his followers to be peacemakers and instructed one of his disciples to put away his sword rather than violently attack his enemies, to a portrait of Jesus holding a gun in each hand as threatening enhancement to his demand for obedience? A similar image would be equally problematic if it pictured Moses poised for a vicious attack on people to whom he was yelling Shalom, or of the Prophet Muhammad as he waved a sword while explaining that Islam is a religion of peace. The same principle applies to portraits of Buddha or Nanak, the founder of Sikhism. Well, this week, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal joined several other governors who have signed into law what is called a gun-in-church bill. The Louisiana version of this provision refers specifically to churches, synagogues, and mosques, though the law applies also to temples, shrines, gurdwaras, and other houses of worship. Now, something is bad wrong in this picture, and I think most of us know what it is. Frankly, despite frequently infusing his civic rhetoric with the language of faith, Jindal, like others, shows a surprising lack of knowledge about the essence of faith and priorities of faithfulness. Why would civic leaders not want one of the last institutions devoted to peacemaking to continue that important work in a society addicted to violence and fascinated by guns? Well, of course, any time government becomes involved in religion, we should expect distortions and problems that can compromise the integrity of religion. The founders of our nation knew the reality of that development well and sought to prevent it. It's a crying shame that contemporary leaders have forgotten it. Interestingly, the Louisiana law entrusts the decision about allowing concealed weapons in houses of worship to the leader of each respective house of worship, I guess assuming a religious hierarchy in every congregation, which is not the case. Though in the church I pastor in Louisiana, the congregation is responsible for the leadership of the church, I could not help but wonder why I would want to choose certain people in the church to carry guns, or perhaps to take advantage of the new law for myself by tucking away a little handgun in my clerical robe like a little pocket Bible. Would that be a way to prevent the man on the second row from going to sleep every Sunday morning during the sermon? Or would it be a way to quiet the woman who always raises an irrelevant question in a church business meeting? Or make teenagers a little uneasy about playing electronic games during the choral anthem? Or increase the success of a congregation-wide financial campaign? Oh, forgive me, but know the matter is a serious one. One having to do with what happens in the sacred space designated for worship, amid the peaceful spirit of a faith that wants to change the world, not bend to society's lowest standards of resolving problems. Yes, I understand the violent environment in which some worship centers are located. One time in the past, I had a little bottle rocket shot at me while I was delivering a sermon in a pulpit. It's discomforting. It's scary. But that's not a reason to replace peacemaking with gun-toting. Why, even in the old shoot-'em-up West, cowboys and cowgirls respectfully checked their guns at the door of a house of worship, and now not even Texas allows guns in houses of worship. Now keep in mind, though, that Bobby Jindal does not always see the importance of treating a house of worship any differently than a university, a business, or a civic auditorium. You remember his defense of using taxpayers' dollars to fly around Louisiana, giving his Christian testimony exclusively in evangelical churches? A little wonder that he would fail to see a difference between carrying concealed weapons to a church and to a civil protest. But thankfully, no government leader gets the right to determine the sanctity of a place of worship and what happens there. To the state legislature of Louisiana and to Governor Bobby Jindal, as a Christian in that state, as a minister in that state, I must say thanks, but no thanks. This very day, I wrote to members of the leadership council in the congregation in which I serve, urging that we quickly post a policy of prohibiting concealed or unconcealed weapons in a place designated for worship by people committed to nonviolence. It's a decision the congregation will need to make because of the government once again intruding into its business. Enough already.
From 2010, that's Welton Gaddy talking about Louisiana's then-new Guns in Churches law. With this show's 10th anniversary coming up in January, we are mining the archives for memorable interviews and commentaries that help illustrate how much things have changed and how much other things have not during the past decade.
It's never been that hard to buy a gun. Now they'll sell a Glock 19 to just about anyone. The seeds of tragedy are there, and what we feel we have the right to bear. To watch our children come to harm, they're in the safety of our arms. With all we disagree about, the passions burn, the heart goes out. We're a long way gone this wild road.
In 2013, immediately after the Newtown shootings in Connecticut, Welton Gaddy appeared on Rachel Maddow's MSNBC show. Let's take a couple of minutes for the comments he made on that occasion.
Joining us now for the interview is the Reverend Welton Gaddy. He's the pastor of the Northminster Baptist Church in Monroe, Louisiana. He's also head of the Interfaith Alliance. Reverend Gaddy, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Rachel.
Seeing these folks from Newtown trying to help lead a national response to what happened, do you think that proximity to a tragedy like this lends a kind of moral leadership, a moral signature that can help the rest of us trying to figure out what we ought to do in the wake of this?
I certainly do, Rachel. I think it is certainly moral integrity for them. They have the experience. They know what happened to them. They know what can happen to other people. And so they want to move. There's something else involved also, though, that I think is very therapeutic about this, because so many times when this happens in a community or even just a death among good friends, and people are just, you know, like this as to what I feel so helpless, I don't know what to do. Here's something to do. Here's a situation in which to grieve is to also imagine what can we do to stop needless grieving, needless deaths. The only thing that scares me about this, and it certainly can be overcome, is in Washington, moral authority doesn't really go very far. If it did, we'd be feeding hungry people all over the world already. We would find it harder to go into war, and we would find it easier to get out of war. So these people are filled with passion and with empathy. And I'm glad to know who they went to see today, because so that they can be helped there. But this is not going to be quick. Now, something may happen quickly, but the real solutions are going to take a while, and they're going to be disappointed. They're going to go into a room where there are people they think should be their friends, and they're right, they should be, but they're feeling a political will that is being battered by lobbyists, by the National Rifle Association, by people saying, oh, you're just not realistic about living in this world. We have to have our guns to fight the government. We have to be prepared. And they're going to be sorely disappointed. That's when they have to reach deeply again into their guts and find that passion and say, we're not going to be stopped by that. Mm-hmm. We've got to get this done.
As head of the Interfaith Alliance, I thought about you when watching President Obama addressing that interfaith service on Sunday night in Newtown, quoting from Scripture, speaking both as a president but also speaking as a man of faith, yeah. Talking to people in a very interfaith, very diverse environment. Do you feel like, especially in moments like this, when people are so emotionally affected, I mean, there are a lot of different types of tragedies that happen over a lot of different time in our country. This one has grabbed people by the heart. To see people so upset, you see a lot of references to faith. You see a lot of people reaching for faith and talking about faith in a way that they is more open than they usually do. Do you feel like the religious community is being constructive and playing an important role in the response so far?
As always, some of it is and some of it is not. Mm-hmm. And there are some people who are still, as religious leaders, carrying political baggage and delivering political mail. And it makes me sick at my stomach to see that. I can't say enough good about Newtown. I mean, I think they have handled this remarkably well. The interfaith component of that service was terribly important. And Rachel, here is a place in which we can find, a nation that's really divided, can find common ground. I don't know of a single religion that is not for protecting life and seeing that children have a right and a opportunity to grow up and become the people they can intended to be. That's why I don't understand people who are carrying political baggage in that situation. And so those of us who see that this needs diversity coming into a unified voice, we've got to speak up.
Reverend Welton Gaddy, pastor of Northminster Baptist Church in Monroe, Louisiana, and the head of the Interfaith Alliance. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Rachel.
I've been looking forward to talking to you.